Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. Men's Tea Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway, now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T or visit menstclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin, Corey Majors, the famous Mike Bassick, and Alec Medford. Gentlemen, I know we're going to get into the Ravens, but first I wanted to throw this out for you.
Nevermore.
There are 167 modern era players nominated for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Obviously, Darren Woodson is on the list. I feel like we've talked about this forever, and you know our frustrations. However, among the first-time eligible players is, you know him, you love him, Travis Frederick. And so the next step is they'll reduce the list to 50 and then cut it down to the semifinals and the finals, and we'll go from there.
He was really good. He was really good at his position. Unfortunately, the syndrome, John Barre syndrome, hit him, and it kind of killed. More than anything, I think it made him change his mind about life. He was like, "I'm very well off. I can do a lot of other things." But it did kind of kill that season for him.
You know, he's still only 33.
Yeah, he's very young and still has a lot of things he can do in life. So I just don't think it was enough of a career to be a Hall of Famer. But for around here, man, we loved him, and he was awesome for us.
I think for offensive linemen, it's a longevity career.
Yeah.
It's not were you dominant for 4 or 5 years? And he was. But I get where, Kevin, you look at more dominance in the prime than longevity.
I need a little bit more
I feel like offensive line, it's really tough to have a short career as an offensive lineman, because I feel like most offensive linemen in the Hall of Fame had a good 12-year or longer career.
He played for 7 years.
Yeah.
And then I don't know how much championships have to be part of that, because when it comes to the Cowboys, like, some of their guys are in, but they were dominant on their own and had their championships. Some guys that were on championship teams are completely left out.
It's really tough. There doesn't seem to be that same criteria outside of quarterback. And that's one of the reasons another first timer is Eli Manning. I do not think that Eli Manning is a fundamentally better football player than Travis Frederick. I just don't. But
better than Arch?
Arch Manning the younger?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good luck, buddy. He looks awesome. But I think there's a significantly higher probability that Eli gets in than Travis Frederick, simply because of those Super Bowls, and that's how it's graded.
What if you're Joe Thomas and you're the first ever offensive lineman?
That is he should have a say. I'm sorry.
Mike,
he should have a say in this.
NFL Network one time on their lower third area, they put Joe Thomas, and they were talking about it. It said first ever offensive lineman. And I think it was to say like 10,000 snaps or something like that. But
they forgot
to
put the extra.
Yeah, and he quote tweeted it and said hashtag blessed. And I always thought that was funny. But for Travis Frederick, to your point, I hope he makes it. I would love it. He played for 7 years. He made the Pro Bowl 5 times. He was second team All-Pro in 14 and 15, and then first team All-Pro in 16. He was diagnosed with Guillain-Barré in 2018. So you can see like a path where that would have never happened. I absolutely think he could have made the Hall of Fame. Where it stands now, my guess would be no. I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah, I don't think he gets close, to be honest. Like the way that you just mentioned Darren Woodson, or maybe you're going to mention here in a second Everson Walls or something.
Yeah, they're still not in the Hall.
So I just don't think that he'll make round of 50 for sure. I do think Travis Frederick could make the round of 50, but I think when they start cutting from 50, he'll get cut almost every time until he's off the board. Great job, great career. For unfortunate that he had the crazy disease that he got, because I don't think winning Super Bowls matters except the quarterback.
I think
position
he's right about that.
That matters. Like, too bad. Phillip Rivers, you're not making it. You didn't ever make it to a Super Bowl, and you never won one. We don't care about your records. I think you have to be Dan Marino like for like that to be thrown out the window. And I think in today's game, I don't even, in a weird way, I don't even know if Dan Marino, if his career started in 2010 and we are coming to the conclusion of it, I don't know if he would make it by today's standards of Super Bowls mean absolutely everything.
Can I add one other thing about Travis Frederick? When he had to go through a process called IVIG while he was suffering from that. And it is not an easy process at all. They basically put you on an IV. It's a steroid they're putting into your body. And it's a long process. Lucy had to go through that process multiple times. She hated it.
Yeah.
But she was a trooper. One day, Travis did shoot a video for me and for Lucy that said, hey, I know this isn't easy, but you're strong and you can do this. And it was awesome. And Lucy had the biggest smile on her face. That's one of the things that I always loved about him, was that dude was awesome.
If there was a human being Hall of Fame, he's a first ballot, no doubter. He gives all kinds of time and stuff and energy to charitable causes, and that is a great example. That is an amazing story.
Yeah, man.
All right, you ready to transition back over to the Ravens?
Let's do it.
Hit me with that cut number four, if you can, please.
Lamar Jackson chased by Chanel and Karloftis to Likely downfield. Isaiah Likely with a block down the sideline. Likely inside the five to the end zone. Touchdown, Baltimore.
Now, I wanted to start with that player specifically because it's kind of time for our next up series and we go after the Baltimore Ravens. Feels like usually you kind of fall into this, hey, let's celebrate or lament for Monday and Tuesday, and then let's start to move on and look at the next thing. When you look at the Baltimore Ravens, I feel like Isaiah Likely has been a surprise contributor early on. All of this is with two games. So I realize a lot of this is like, it's two games.
Corey, he's their Derek Lively this year.
Oh.
Okay, that's interesting, because last year...
Spelled differently, but yes.
Last year, he had... He had some time that he was in there for Mark Andrews, and he started to develop a couple of opportunities with Lamar Jackson that I thought were interesting. I was like, oh wow, this guy. But then it makes sense because Lamar Jackson likes to throw to tight ends. The routes are easier for him to throw. The target's big. It all makes sense when it comes to that. And this is a big target to throw to. But I was kind of interested on how they would do it when Mark Andrews came back, and they were able to continue to implement him because they run out those two tight ends. So I think that's a perfect scenario for all three of them, is Mark Andrews can still be a dominant tight end, but Isaiah Likely can be one of those guys that really is more than serviceable for Lamar Jackson.
Does it feel like, with all due respect to Isaiah Likely, does it feel like a waste of time
explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
To go down that path to start when you're like, what about Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson running the ball? Like, you know what I'm saying? Isaiah Likely is a good player, and he's shown out well through these first two games. But when you see the problems that the Cowboys potentially have, does it feel like you need to go right to what's Lamar going to do if he gets out to the edge? What's Derrick Henry going to do when he runs the ball?
I'm with you. Run game first, because you look at the Ravens and you look at the Cowboys and go strength, weakness. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Their strength matches the Cowboys' weakness. That is a bad sign usually for a game plan. And you're not going to make run defense a strength. You don't have the talent to do it. You can get it better. You can commit more. Okay. Well, now, Kevin, this is where Isaiah Likely and Mark Andrews come into play. I play action. linebackers are sucked in because they're trying so hard to stop the run and the guy gets behind you, or the guy gets a pretty free release to the outside and he catches a 3-yard easy pass, right? You try to make the game. Lamar's a good quarterback. You do try to make throws as easy as possible for him because he's one of the probably bottom third accurate passers in the NFL. So they try to make throws simple and easy for him. Well, what would be simple and easy is I have something that looks like it's going to the right as a handoff. I have a tight end, one of the two, slip out to the opposite side. I give him a 3-yard pass. Nobody's near him. He turns a 3-yard pass into a 13-yard gain.
Sure.
And so now you have those situations where I suck the linebackers into thinking, you got to stop the run because we're hitting you for 4 to 6 yards.
I know you would probably make this argument in any football game, like get me a turnover, but specifically against the Ravens, I feel like you're going to need to pick off Lamar Jackson at least one time. He's had interceptions in both of his first two games. Now, he also is running wild, 83.5 yards per game, but he is giving the ball back. I feel like more than maybe your average game, the Cowboys need an interception or a forced fumble in this game.
Yeah, and I think that's going to happen. I think both of those are going to happen in this game, actually.
Ooh.
Because I think that last week, the scheme that they went up against the Saints are very good at it. The Ravens aren't that great at what they're doing. Yet they haven't developed that yet to be dominant at running the ball this year. And I think also the scheme that you went up against last week, you have to really coach to defend that scheme. You really have, there are little nuances about hand placement and things like that that really do get you out leveraged if you don't coach it right. And I think the Cowboys were like, here's our base and here's some of the things. And they were in base a lot. Belichick talked about that yesterday because they got beat up so much. They were like, we can't blitz. We can't do any of these other things because they're just defeating us here. I think Zimmer is going to be very much more focused on those little nuances of this defense this week. And that's going to be an advantage to them. Again, two games into the season. I would have liked, Mike, if they were better in preseason to be more prepared for this moment. But they're only two games into the season on it right now.
Can I ask you a question off of what you just said? Would you, and I know this is dangerous, would you tell your rookie cornerback and then also your Pro Bowl cornerback coming back from injury, man, we're leaving you out on an island. Zay Flowers, whoever it is, we cannot commit safeties to help over the top. We cannot commit linebackers to kind of flood that zone area underneath because we need 9 guys committed to the run defense and committed to Lamar Jackson and committed to the tight ends. We have to have you guys play man-on-man with no help if we're going to slow down or stop what we are really bad at.
I would say I would love that, but you still have to have your eyes in the backfield when Lamar gets open, when Lamar gets out there. Like, you still have to be able to make some of those stops, too. I don't trust Diggs to make tackles ever, really, honestly, but I do need that body there to force him out of bounds or something, so I know where you're going with that. I'm going to need a lot more safety help than usual, I feel like.
But for the run, what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah, for the
run. Yeah, what I'm saying is I have the safeties just peeking and playing up because I'm going to take care of the tight ends with my safeties because my linebackers, I have to have them concentrating so much on run defense and Lamar Jackson that if those guys go fly routes 40 yards down the field, you guys got them. We're not putting anybody over the top.
That could be fine, but the most important thing for this Cowboys defense, they got to get their S together on the defensive line. If their defensive line continues to get blown up the way that it was against New Orleans, mostly those two guys in the middle, they get double teams pushed around. It's going to screw up everything for your linebackers. They're not going to be able to fill gaps. They're not going to be able to get to their edges. That's how they got pulled away from those edges because they created that wall. Jerry talked about it a lot. They created that wall that said, we're blocking all the way up and linebackers are out of plays. That's where, and then Kamara was able to cut back too once they got those guys out of the play and washed them out. So I think that the biggest factor is going to be what you're doing with those two guys in the middle of your defense if they can hold up against this because they were crap in the last game.
Now, one potential advantage, and I'm sure we'll talk about this the rest of the week, is there's been a little bit of shakiness on the Ravens offensive line. Specifically, John Harbaugh said this unit has been way too inconsistent, and guard Daniel Falele has already allowed a couple big plays in each of the first two games. Harbaugh was like, hey, because people are already asking, is he going to lose your job and his job? And Harbaugh was like, look, he beat Ben Cleveland in training camp to win the job, so we're not ready to pull the trigger or anything like that. But that gives you an indication of some of the struggles. If two games in, people are like, hey, are you going to stick with that? So if you're looking for an advantage as we start this discussion throughout the week for the Dallas Cowboys, I'm curious to see how that Ravens offensive line holds up. Now, I know Lamar Jackson has a lot of mobility if it breaks down, but he is also apt to take a sack for sure while he's thinking, hey, I'm the best at this, and I can get out of this. So you have an opportunity there, I think, as well.
And that's where I think the fumble will come in. I don't think it's going to come out of Derrick Henry's hands as much as I think it'll come out of Lamar Jackson's hands.
Okay, I like that.
And if they're not able to, if they can't get them, if they can't run the ball the right way, I mean, they did it again. The Cowboys gave it up. They gave up the booty, and they have a history of giving up that booty right now. If they can slow that run, then it's going to force more situations for Lamar to be back in the pocket, more time in the pocket, more you make him second guess himself, you can get an interception that way too.